All right.
You can't hear me.
Khan, all praise. You know, stay encouraged, Ashala. It's only temporary. All right. The curses are almost. This project is called Someday No More. Someday, we ain't gonna be up on these conditions.
Most High will deliver.
We ain't gonna be on these curses. You just gotta hold on. Sing to him, brother.
GMOs corrupting my children. No more of your higher living skyscraper buildings. No more of your tyranny ways. No more inventing aid. No more gainsayers whenever we speak for gain's sake. No more smiles that's fake. No more handshakes. No more stand your ground and shoot that nigga in his nigga face. No more of these black face painted by the sons of Satan. The devil that the Bible speaks
of. No misinterpretation.
No more coonery, no more fookery. No more basketball dribbling, no more Bojangles chicken. No more God bless America. My middle finger up to the Trump while I stand here in hysterica. No more Hellenistic Gentile living. No more voting in this wicked ass system. No love is what they getting. So one day, the prophecies of the children Yasha'Allah will be fulfilled, and we will be going home. Everything that's been documented in the entire book that's called the Torah was written about the so-called Negroes and our captivity, the Hispanics and the North American Indians, the 12 tribes of Israel, our repentance and our return. No more these aging niggas claiming they Jake when they work for Satan. No more hydrogenated peanut oil to break your concentration. Didn't know that, did you? Yeah, that snake shit real wicked. Give you the worst of the food for you to feed the children. Matter of fact, while we on the subject, might as well get at that. Baby mama's gonna be mad, but it's gonna be no food stamps. It's a blessing, though. You gotta understand these things. The Most High gonna provide for us. Two rivers, two
that
trees.
That 501c3, boy, that's the mark of the beast. How you gonna teach the people you ain't got permission to speak? No more COINTELPRO, bro, up under Islam. Want me to come to your class for Sabbath? Man, get gone. Cause it's universal. This is rehearsal. And ain't no one camp or one school got it all. Don't take it personal. Interpretation, what the scriptures say. 2 Peter 1:20, the literature tell you Buster's name. So we don't have to come together up under one specific school or banner. Remember, Yasha'Allah, your nationality is the camp. The two times that camp was used most prolifically in the Bible is when the Most High was around our whole nationality. And this last time is when he's going to redeem us and take us out of this place of captivity. And he's going to fight for the camp of Israel. See, after this, we're going to be all winning. All in it. When it comes to the law, we gon' be all
now
in
every
it.
Every man, woman, and child, go gather your nothings. After this summit, we are one step closer to sons coming in. It'll be no more division, no more camp banging, no more out the order. Sit your black butt back, go read the Torah. No more harvesting his people's organs. This heart pumped you the blood. The first people of the earth, same color as
you
the
crack
mud.
The lights with the teeth, for your people's the bottom feeders, and we see you. No more white lies, no more white heights, no more white
Easter.
No more whitewashing my black mind with a white
Jesus.
No more Saturnalia, no more pagan worship. No more babies of this nation being blatantly murdered. No more abortions, no more of these banks and their extortions. No more whorehouses and plain sight disguised as churches. No more of my people hurting, cause it'll be no more curses.
No more curses. No more curses. No more curses. No more curses.
And this is a reason to celebrate Yasha'Allah. One day these conditions will be over. There will be no more confusion. No harm will come to your people ever again. Because we will be delivered. Salvation is of the Jews. Hamashiach Yahawashah. So he said, I am not sent but into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And we will be delivered from this captivity. When?
Take it from me. We'll all be free.
All right. Once again, we are welcoming all of Israel scattered throughout the North, Central, and South America, the so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, people of Negro Indian descent from North America, Central America, and South America. We are giving this broadcast to you and letting you guys know that you are the lost children of the House of Israel. I apologize for the lateness of this broadcast. We had originally set up to get everything going at around 10:30, but there were some things that were going on that needed to be handled. So that's why we're coming to you a little bit later today. But we still have about a good hour, an hour, 10 minutes left in this broadcast. So we're going to try to bring the Sabbath readings or the Torah readings to you today. And I'm waiting for another brother to get here, but there still is no excuse, and I'm going to try to get in as best as I can until the brother gets here. We are the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge in Albuquerque, New Mexico. My name is Brother Shalomah, and we are out here this Saturday morning of July 21st to spread the Most High's knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to his people. And what we usually do, I know everybody knows, and I know it's kind of late, we have a weekly Torah reading that we get into every Sunday at the, every Saturday at the Downtown Public Library here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, off of 501 Copper Street. It's the main library in downtown Albuquerque. And we bring classes to you, we try to bring classes to you every, I want to say, Tuesday and Thursday from this location from Albuquerque, and then we have the Sabbath reading that we do on Saturdays. But then we also have our affiliate schools, which are out in San Antonio, Texas, and also in Houston, Texas, where the brothers will bring classes to you every Tuesday all the way up through Saturday from around 7:30 p.m. to about maybe like 9:30 p.m. And like I said, I know time is limited, so I'm going to try to go ahead and jump right in on it today so we can make this as beneficial for the listeners out there and fulfilling as possible. Today's weekly Torah reading is coming to us from the Shabbat Table Talk in the Hebrew for Christians app. And the overview for today states that what we're going to be reading about is Parasha Devarim. And it's going to cover the Deuteronomy chapters 1 all the way through Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 22. And I'm going to go over the brief synopsis that we're going to get into. And it says, the final book of the Torah of Moses is called Devarim, words, from the phrase Elah HaDevaram. These are the words. Found in its opening verse in our English Bibles, Devarim is known as Deuteronomy, for a Greek word used to translate the phrase Mishneh HaTorah, copy of the Torah, Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 18. Generally speaking, this book represents Moses' farewell address to Israel, where he reviews the history and laws given to the people, and he repeatedly warns that obedience will bring blessings, while disobedience will bring disaster. The series of the personal discourses in this book all have the tone of rebuke and admonition. And indeed, some sages say it resembles a sort of deathbed blessing, not until Jacob's blessing given to his sons. The book opens 37 days before Moses was to die, namely during the 40th year since the Exodus from Egypt. On the first day of the 11th month, i.e. Shavuot, the Israelites were in the land of Moab, just east of the Jordan. Shortly before they would enter the Promised Land, since Moses was forbidden to enter the land, his discourse was concerned with making plain the Torah to the people so that they would obey God's law once they took possession of the land. Our Torah portion, the first book of Deuteronomy, begins with Moses recounting the journey from Mount Sinai to the edge of the Promised Land. He mentioned the difficulty of personally governing the people and recalled how he set up a system of judges to help him administer justice among the various tribes. Moses then reminded the people of the sins of the spies and the rebellion of the people at Kadesh Barnea, which led to God's decree
that no one of the generation would live to enter the land of Canaan except for Caleb and Joshua. Despite God's verdict, the people repented of their faithlessness and presumptuously sought to enter the land anyway, though they were utterly defeated by the Amorites. Moses then provided an outline of the 38-year exile of the Israelites back toward the Sea of Reeds into the desert region, and then began again until the next generation was ready to enter the Promised Land. This time, the Israelites were able to defeat Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan, and their lands east of the Jordan was divided between the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh. The portions ended with Moses telling his successor, Joshua, "Your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do to all the kingdoms in which ye are crossing. Ye shall not fear them, for it is the Lord your God who fights for you."
And that's the brief synopsis of what we're going to get into in our reading today. And we're going to start off reading in Deuteronomy. We're going to start off in Deuteronomy chapter 1, and we're going to read on through from verse 1 through the entire chapter. And then when the brother gets here, he can help me assist in the reading so that we can get this out here for you. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 1. "These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on the side of the Jordan in the wilderness, in the plains against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazareth and Dishab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month of the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. After he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt in Azeroth, in Edrea, on this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare these laws, saying, The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you, and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plains, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, and to the great river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. And I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. The Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. For the Lord God your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as ye are, and bless you, and he hath promised you. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? Take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And he answered me and said, The things which thou hast spoken is good for us to do. So I took the chief of your tribes, wise men and known, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands, and captains over hundreds, and captains over 50, and captains over tens, and officers among your tribes. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, Hear the cause between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And I command you at that time all the things which ye shall do. And when ye depart from Horeb, we went through all the great and terrible wilderness, which we saw by the way of the mountains of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us,
And we came to Kadesh Baran, Barnea. And I said unto you, ye are coming to the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and compass it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what we must go up, and into the cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went up into the mountain, and came into the valley of Eshol, and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands, and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, it is a good land, which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents, and said, because the Lord hated us, he has brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is great and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the son of the Anakim's there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness, well, thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night to show you by what way ye should go, and in a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth, and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers. Save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Also the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither, but Joshua the son of Nun standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, you little ones, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and to them will I give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn you, and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Then he answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. And when ye have girded on every man his weapon of war, ye were ready to go up into the hill. And the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and ye would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously up into the hill. And the Amorites which dwelt in the mountain came out against you, and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. And ye returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. So ye abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that ye abode there. And right there, that was just us getting through Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 1 through verse 46. Now, the brother Ahmad has just showed up, and I'm going to see if I can get him to take over the reading for me. And we're going to go into Deuteronomy chapter 2, and we're going to read all of chapter 2.
It's going to be from verse 1 all the way through verse 37.
Got you. My apologies for my delay this morning. I'll go ahead and pick it up. And one more time, I was trying to pull up the website, but I'm just going to go to my Bible app. Go ahead.
It's, we're in Deuteronomy. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 2 now, and we're going to read all of chapter 2.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and start at verse 1, at the top of Deuteronomy, the second chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 1. And I got something interrupting me here, the main library Wi-Fi. Let me get back to it. Got it. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 1. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward, and command thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren and the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land. No, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. Ye shall buy meat of them for money, that ye may eat, and ye shall also buy water of them for money, that ye may drink. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. And when we pass by from our brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, through the way of the plain from Elath and from Ezion Geber, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. Verse 10, the Emmims dwell there in times past, a people great and many and tall as the Anakims, which also were accounted giants as the Anakims. But the Moabites called them Emmims. Verse 12, the Horims also dwell in Seir before time, but the children of Esau succeeded them when they had destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their stead, as Israel did unto the land of his possession, which the Lord gave unto them. Verse 13, now rise up, said I, and get you over the brook Zered. And we went over the brook Zered. And the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we were come over the brook Zered was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war were wasted out from among the hosts, as the Lord sware unto them. For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from among the hosts until they were consumed. So it came to pass, when all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people, that the Lord spake unto me, saying, thou art to pass over through Ar, the coast of Moab, this day. Verse 19, and when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. That also, verse 20, that also was accounted a land of giants. Giants dwelt there in old time, and the Ammonites called them Zamzumims. Verse 21, a people great and many and tall as the Anakims, but the Lord destroyed them from destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead, as he did to the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, when he destroyed the Horims from before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead even unto this day. Verse 23, and the Abims, which dwelt in Hazarim, even unto Azah, the Kaphtorims, which came forth out of Kaphtor, destroyed them and dwelt in their stead. Verse 24, rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon and Amorite. I have given into thine hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it, and contend with him in battle. Verse 25, this day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee, and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. And I sent messengers out of the wilderness of Kedemoth unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, verse 27, let me pass through thy land. I will go along by the highway. I will neither turn unto the right hand nor to the left. Thou shalt sell me meat for money that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Only I will pass through on my feet. Verse 29, as the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, and the Moabites, which dwelt in Ar, did unto me, until I shall pass over Jordan into the land which the Lord our God giveth us. Verse 30, but Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him. For the Lord thy God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into thy hand, as appeareth this day. Verse 31, the Lord said unto me, behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land before thee. Begin to possess, that thou mayest inherit his land. Then Sihon came out against us, and he and all his people, to fight at Jahaz. And the Lord our God delivered him before us, and we smote him and his sons and all his people. And we took all his cities at that time and utterly destroyed the men and the women and the little ones of every city. We left none to remain. Only the cattle we took for a prey unto ourselves, and the spoils of the city we took from Aroer, which is by the brink of the river of Arnon, and from the city that is by the river, even unto Gilead. There was not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God delivered all unto us. Verse 37, last verse, only unto the land of the children of Ammon thou camest not, nor unto any place of the river Jabbok, nor unto the cities into the mountains, nor unto whatsoever the Lord our God forbade us. And so that was verse chapter 2, where we're going through. I can continue reading if you like.
I know. I just wanted to do a quick recap, but it goes into, like we said in the synopsis earlier, it was telling us that this is like the ending chronicles that Moses is giving the people about what they should get ready to do in getting ready to go into the land. And it really goes into the details of how Moses had to set up the supporting system because it was too overwhelming for him, and how everything had to get was supposed to, it was an order that the Most High set up for everything. And now, when Israel stuck to the order that the Most High had delivered, he always provided for them. But now, it got to a point to where they were in the land that the Most High was getting ready to give them, and they sent scouts, and they saw how bountiful the land was. They were like, wow. You know, they couldn't process what the Most High was giving them. But instead of focusing on what the Most High had already given them,
they looked around and started seeing these people look like giants. How is it there? It's more of them than it is of us. How are we going to be able to take them? And then the Most High had to really go back and talk to him. He's like, you don't remember when you came out of Egypt, how the armies were, they were trying to compass you about. You don't remember how I had you, your shoes not wear out, how I had a pillar of fire, a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to guide you. You don't remember all these things that I did for you, and now you see I brought you to this promised land, and now I got you here, and I'm just going to be like, that's it. I'm not going to take care of you.
Yeah, I've never forsaken you before, and I provided all these extra things, all these aids for y'all before. Why am I just going to abandon you now? Like, what's wrong with y'all? What are y'all thinking? Y'all don't trust me still, even after everything I've done for y'all up until this point, and y'all lack nothing? You still don't have, you still ain't trust me?
So then the Most I have to say this, he's like, listen, because you've doubted me, your generation is not going to make it to this promised land. So instead of going up here, this is what I want you to do. I want you guys to go here now. We're gonna go back the way we came. And then they kind of got prideful, and they went in after God told them, after the Most I told them not to go and attack these people now. He said, listen, don't attack them. I'm not with you. So it's like they wanted to get that who out. They're like, oh, we're gonna hype ourselves up. We're gonna do it now. You know what I'm saying?
And we don't need the Most High to do that. We know what we're capable of. They forgot that the Most High was with them.
They doubted the Most High, but then the Most High said, listen, don't go there. So they went there anyway.
They disobeyed.
And they got that butt whooped.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
They got their butt whooped.
You would
bad.
Think they knew better, but yeah. They lost sight of what was the focus. They lost what was sight of what was important.
But if they had just continued to follow like they had been doing,
mm-hmm.
The Most I said, I had already had this land won for you. You know what I'm saying? It was ready to be taken.
Yeah.
Now, even on the journey after they left from getting their butts whooped, he was very specific. He's like, listen, I'm going to take you through all these nice lands. I'm going to take you through your brother's land. You can't have their land because this is what I promised to them. And they did the things that they need to do, so this is their land. And they kept seeing other people's stuff and the things that they had. And the Most I had to tell them, he's like, look, all you'll do is you're going to go here, and if you need something to eat, you're going to buy it. If you need something to drink, you're going to buy it. But you're going to keep moving because this is their land now.
God.
It goes to show you that if we just listen to the Heavenly Father, there's a phenomenal blessing awaiting us. If we just...
Stay obedient.
Yeah, we just do what we're told.
Con.
But I'm going to read chapter 3, and we're going to go from verse 1 to verse 22, and then we're going to try to see if we have enough time to get to the questions.
Okay.
Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 1.
You want to split this chapter by chance?
We can.
Let me see how many verses. 29.
It's 22. We're going to go into verse 22.
Oh, we're going to verse 22.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, go ahead.
Then we turned and went up the way to Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. And the Lord said unto me, fear him not, for I will deliver him and all his people and his land into thy hand, and thou shalt do unto him as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Hezron. So the Lord our God delivered into our hands Og also, the king of Bashan, and all his people. And we smote him until none was left to him remaining. And we took all his cities at that time. There was not a city which we took not from them. 70 cities, all the region of Argob, the kingdom of Oz in Bashan. All these cities were fenced within high walls, gates, and bars. Beside unwalled towns, a great many. And we utterly destroyed them, as we did with Sihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, women, and children of every city. But all the cattle and the spoil of the cities we took for a prey to ourselves. And we took at that time out of the hand of the two kings of the Amorites the land that was on this side Jordan from the river of Arnon unto Mount Hermon, which Hermon the Sidonians called Sirah, and the Amorites called Shinar. all the cities of the plains, and all Gilead, and all Bashan, unto Salat and Edra, cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Radith, the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man. And this land which was possessed at that time from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, and half Mount Gilead, and the cities thereof, gave I unto the Reubenites and the Gadites. And the rest of Gilead and all Bashan began the kingdom of Og, gave I unto half the tribe of Manasseh, Manasseh, all the region of Argob, with all Bashan, which was called the land of giants. Jaher, the son of Manasseh, took all the country of Argob unto the coast of Jeshurun and Machatid, and called them after his own name, Bashan, Hobah, Jahar, until this day. And I gave Gilead unto Machar, and unto the Reubenites, and unto the Gadites, I gave from Gilead even unto the river Arnon, half the valley, and the border even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon. The plains also, and Jordan, and the coast thereof, from Kinnereth even unto the sea of the plains, even the salt sea under Ashdod, Pishon, eastward. And I command you at that time, saying, the Lord your God has given you this land to possess it. You shall pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are meet for the war. But your wives and your little ones and your cattle, for I know that ye have much cattle, shall abide in your cities which I have given you. Until the Lord hath given rest unto your brethren, as well as unto you, and until they also possess the land which the Lord your God has given them beyond Jordan. And then shall you return every man unto his possession, which I have given you. And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passest. Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God shall fight for you.
That's it. Okay. Yeah.
And now the one thing that it's phenomenal that for the stubbornness that one generation had, they all had to die off. But now when they died off, that the new generation came in and they stuck to what was told to them by the Heavenly Father, and look at the great things that He blessed them with.
So you see, we see the contrast.
Yep.
This is the blessing of obedience, of y'all remaining obedient. And this is what happens when you decide that you don't need your Heavenly Father anymore. You don't need your power anymore. You start going off on your own. You start going off on your own, doing your own thing. You start going off on your own way of thinking. You know what I'm saying? Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. So we start going off, anytime we ever start going off on our own understanding throughout the scriptures, throughout all of the stories, including this one, whenever we start going off our own understanding and start doing our own thing, that's when the Most High, that's when it would become apparent that the Most High would show us that He wasn't with us, that we would start losing out, that we would suffer losses, that, you know what I'm saying, we would suffer loss, we would lose our lives, we would start losing battles, we'd start be overtaken, and things wouldn't go our way, things wouldn't work out for us. And this is what the Most High has been trying to show us the entire time, so that's real interesting, including this story. It was evident in this story that obedience to the Father is, you know what I'm saying, it's pertinent, it's important that we remain humble and obedient to the Father, because that's when He blesses us, that's when He's with us, that's when we succeed. And you think we, you know, we get that by now, you know what I'm saying? But God.
Yeah, I'm trying
to add, you know, to that point, you know. when are we going to get it? We keep doing things our own way. It's temporary, if anything, but it don't work out in the long run for us.
And now, as per what the normal routine is, after we do the reading, we always get into they have questions for us.
Yes, sir.
So the first question they have is, what does the word Devarim mean in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 1?
All right, let's see what they say. Well, okay, I guess we can go to the scripture first before we get to what they say. What they have for the answer here. Deuteronomy 1 and 1.
Mm-hmm.
These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel, and Laban, and Hazara, and Dizahab. So, the question, so we read Deuteronomy 1 and 1 and 1.
Yeah,
the question says what the word Devarim means.
And the word Devarim means word. Because it said it in the first part. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on the side of the Jordan.
Okay.
And even when we go back up and I was reading through the synopsis, let us know that Devarim means words.
Okay. Okay. So it was mentioned in the synopsis also, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Second question, interesting. What does the word Deuteronomy mean? So we have a book called Deuteronomy in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of it's within the five books of the Bible. It's part of the Torah. So that's interesting. I never actually figured out what that one means, so I guess we're going to learn that now. What does the word Deuteronomy mean? So I guess before I give it away, what the answer that they have, did you want to
something
out on it before we read what they
Well, it goes back up to, like, in the synopsis. It says, the final book of the Torah of Moses is called Devarim, or words, for the phrase Elah Ha Devarim. These are the words, found in its opening verse. In our English Bibles, Devarim is known as Deuteronomy, from a Greek word used to translate the phrase Mishnah Ha Torah, copy of the Torah.
Okay. That's interesting. So, back up in, so you go back to synopsis and you see that.
Mm-hmm.
What was the word again? You said Devarim or Dever? Is it that Devarim?
Devarim.
Is it the same word? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It says Devarim is known.
Words.
Yeah, Devarim is known as Deuteronomy. These are the words. And it still covers it in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1. These be the words. So what does
Deuteronomy mean?
These be the words.
Which is the first words in,
mm-hmm.
in the start off the entire book of Deuteronomy.
Yep.
That's interesting. Okay.
And it says, if you translate it into Greek, it means the second law.
Okay.
And now,
the first law would have been
honestly, I think they would have covered that one like last week when I wasn't here when I was at the mall, because it gives you the readings previously to this point
up until Deuteronomy.
Yeah,
that would be the first. So Deuteronomy would be like the second law,
because that's when they got the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
The third question is, to whom did Moses deliver his speech?
Mm.
And we can go back in the beginning of it.
Deuteronomy 1:1.
Mm-hmm.
These be the words unto all Israel.
Yeah, so this speech that was being delivered to who? All the children of Israel.
God.
You know what I'm saying? All the 12 tribes.
Mm-hmm. All Israel. I guess it's Deuteronomy on this side, Jordan, in the wilderness. And, you know what I'm saying? It gives the location right at the beginning of Deuteronomy.
Right.
But it was to all the children of Israel.
Exactly.
Same chapter and verse.
Okay.
That's beginning in Deuteronomy.
And then I guess question four says, it says, how long after Moses' speech was it before Joshua led Israel across the Jordan?
Pull the scripture on that.
That was in, I believe that was in Deuteronomy chapter 2, I want to say. Let me see if I can find exactly where it is.
Did you run across that, or did I run across that? Because I read the second chapter. I don't remember if that was 38 years.
I think so.
I remember 38 years coming up. Let's go right back to it. Deuteronomy second chapter. I remember going across 38 years. Yeah, verse 14. In the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea, Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 14, once again is where we're at. The space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we were come over the brook Zered was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war were wasted out from among the hosts, as the Lord sware unto them. I don't know if that's talking about the same thing, though it's not saying that. Unless maybe we read down.
Let me see.
If it even was a part of the reading, what is it?
It was a part of the reading. Because even if you go into Deuteronomy chapter 1, and it goes, you read about verse 38, it talks about how, but Joshua the son of Nun, which stands before thee, he shall go in thither, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. And this, and it talks about, moreover, the little ones, which he said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and to them will I give it. And they shall possess it. But as for you, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Then he answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord the God commanded us. And when they girded everyone his weapons of war and were ready to go up the hill. Now this is when they disobeyed.
Mm-hmm.
But now the Most High was giving them a prophecy about, this is going to be the time when I'm going to allow you to go back into that land. So it was, I believe it was 38 years, what we read in chapter 2.
Chapter 2, verse 14, over the space in which he came from, that portion until we would come over for 38 years. So the total of the wilderness total is 40 years. So
yes.
It's 38 of those 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was that time, that space time. Basically, had 2 more years before they actually entered into the promised land. Okay.
And I'm gonna read their answer. It says Joshua began the conquest of Canaan after Passover. So Moses' speech, death, and succession all took place within 2.5 months. Moses turned 120 years old when he gave this speech.
Okay, so. Did we misunderstand the question? Is it saying 2.5 months?
Yeah, so this was after, so I guess what we were not comprehending was that Moses was going to die, and when Moses was going to die, he was handing over the succession to Joshua and what's his name? And Jephthah.
So he was giving a speech prior to his death.
Yeah. So
then when he died, so from the time he gave the speech
until
the time Joshua led the conquest across Jordan
was 2.5 months.
Okay.
So we were thinking about the entire time it took the kids to make it to the promised land, but that's not what was said because this is, we forget that Moses was reflecting on what was said.
Okay.
And what things had transpired and happened.
Okay.
So.
2.5 months.
Yeah.
Not 38 years. But 38 years was talking about something else.
Yeah.
This is, we're
basically what happened was, if I'm not mistaken, is that when Moses got them to the, they got to the land of milk and honey quick, you know what I'm saying? And then they were supposed to go up there, they sent scouts, and then they doubted. And now for their doubt, that's why it got drug out an extra 38 years, because you had to kill off that old generation that was hard-headed.
So he's saying, if it wasn't for that,
2 years,
it may not have, it wouldn't have taken 40 years. Uh-huh. It wouldn't have taken the 38, you know.
The 38 extra wouldn't have taken.
Yeah.
It. Because I now I do remember this from outside the class. We had a couple of, it's been some weeks, but the journey from the Red Sea to where they were at, it only took them like, it didn't take them that long. And if they had just kept following the law, statutes of the Heavenly Father and the commandments, they would have got there. But because they rebelled, that's why all it took all the extra. Yeah, it drawed out.
Because
I do remember Mashaba actually gave us the specifics of, in that journey, it should take about 2 years to get from here to here. So we was right there, and then Israel kept murmuring. They kept murmuring. They kept murmuring against the Heavenly Father, and they kept murmuring against Moses. That's why Moses had to come back, and I believe get the help to govern all of his people, because there were so many people that had so many things going on.
Question five.
Yes, sir.
Where did Moses deliver his speech? So that's also Deuteronomy. Know that we're talking about the speech before he died. We're not talking about when he started talking to Israel and giving the law. We're talking about the speech before he died. Where were we at when that was mentioned? Was the speech in the first chapter? Because I don't remember reading chapter 2.
I think so. It was east of the Jordan River in Arabah, a desert region north of the Dead Sea, sometimes called the Plain of Moab. It was It says,
Long talk ended, and then he texts a question mark. So, can I ask if we are we able to be heard still, or are we just disconnected?
I should still be on. I still see me on the call-in thing. The time is running. I just clicked over to. It says we have 28 minutes left of stream time. So, why are you texting?
Okay, we are being heard.
I apologize about the technical difficulties. My phone reset. But we're trying to get back into everything. I know we have a limited amount of time left. My apologies for that.
He said, now he hears
you. Okay. I apologize about the inconvenience, everybody. My phone reset on me mid question, and we're back connected right now. I'm just trying to pull everything back up so I can get back to the questions where we left off. Give me just a moment here. My apologies. Sorry about that. I'm almost there. I'm just looking for my PDF now.
I'm still, we're just going back to the questions, right?
Yes, sir. I think we left off with question number 5.
Question number, where did Moses deliver his speech? And the east of Jordan River and Arava, a desert region north of the Dead Sea, sometimes called the Plain of Moab. So note that the other place names mentioned in verse 1 are regarded as code for rebuke to Israel by the sages. That's the answer they had. I don't know if you want to add anything to that, if you want to move on to question 6.
Yeah, let's go to question number 6.
Okay. It says, what was the point of Moses' speech? Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 5. So we'll go back to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 5. Just going straight to their answer. It says, on this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn ye and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites. I don't know if I'm going too far, but question was, what was the purpose of him delivering a speech where he was at? Or where did Moses say, what was the point of Moses' speech?
You covered it actually when you read verse 5. It says, on this side of the Jordan in the land of Moab began Moses to declare this law. The purpose of the speech was to declare
the law.
It was to declare the law of the Heavenly Father.
Keep it simple, right?
God. So that for the old generation that has now passed away, it was making sure that these young generations would be able to now go in with the law, so they knew how to do things, how to handle situations, how to deal with the things that arose and came up to it and confronted them.
Right. Okay.
First question number 7. Why does Moses say it takes 11 days to go from Horeb, by the way of Mount Seir, to reach Kadesh Barnea? And now it does talk about that as well. It talks about it in verse 2. It says, there are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir into Kadesh. But now, I think the question is, why did he tell him that?
Why did he tell him to go that way?
Yeah.
So that it would take 11 days?
No, think about it. And this goes back into, like I said, some of the Torah readings we had before. It's originally supposed to take, the journey that they were supposed to have would have taken 11 days.
Okay.
It took them 40 years.
Hey. 11 days? I thought it was 2 years it turned into.
If I'm remembering correctly, it was supposed to be, I think, an 11-day journey, but because of the things that Israel continued to do that went contrary to the Most High, it ended up taking the extra time. Because think about it. If you're right where you're supposed to be and you send scouts, you're right next to the land and you send scouts to go to check it out.
You're so close that you can actually see it.
Yeah.
But you still can't get access.
But now
it's right there. Let's just go. All right. Yeah, we should still. Kind of silly, you know.
It was right there.
Silly, y'all. This is what y'all gonna turn it into? Okay. So be it. Let's go on this journey. Let's learn. Y'all learn what y'all need to learn. But really, it could have only taken this long.
Scripture does say, "Thy own wickedness shall correct thee."
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? But because, like I said, since we choose to continue to go astray on the things that are told to us by the Heavenly Father, that's why I think we'll say things like, "Man, it seems like I can't never do nothing right."
Yeah.
You saying it seems like I'm always stuck in this situation. But now, why are we stuck in those situations? Why does it seem that it seems like it's taking forever to get to this point? Because what were we doing? Much like in the Exodus when they left from Egypt to get to the Promised Land, there was a lot of murmuring,
complaining, disobedience.
Yep. And so those things drag situations out, and it's no different for us today. For the murmuring, the disobedience, the complaining, the situations that we go through in our life as Israelites is dragged out. When it could be as simple as do these things, and all these things will be added unto you. You know what I'm saying? You have length of days, long life, prosperity,
peace.
You know what I'm saying? But now he lets us know that if you don't do these things, this is what's waiting for you. It's not like the Most High is. Yeah, it's not like I'm gonna just put up this facade of this one thing. No. Rather, but because of our choices and our actions, these are the things that we have to deal with now. These are the repercussions. What's the next question? Actually, what did they say the answer was? Because I want to.
Okay. They put, excuse me, Israel was to begin the conquest from the south, from Kadesh Barnea, not from the east at Jericho. Mentioning the 11 days is meant to contrast the 40 years of wandering that resulted from Israel's rebellion at Kadesh.
So an 11-day journey turned into 40 years because of what?
Rebellion. Because of the rebellion, the complaining, the pride, the bucking up, that, okay, y'all don't want to do it, and really, y'all don't complain. Do things y'all's way and not rely on me. Cool, fine. All right, let's see what y'all get out of it. Let's see what kind of success y'all have doing it without me.
He's like, I got you. Trust me, I got you. You want to do it this? You want to do it that way? I got something waiting for you because you want to do it that way. Don't worry about it. You're going to see what you're going to learn today.
You're
going to learn today. Yes, sir. You most certainly will.
Man. So their answer was on point.
Yeah, well, it was an 11-day trip that turned into 40 years. That's
ridiculous.
Right.
It could have only taken a week and a half.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like we just
rebellion
is a hell of a drug.
Goodness.
Like Rick James said. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Question number 8.
Got it?
Yeah. On which holiday does Moses begin his speech? And in which year? It was
not the one of the trumpets, but
no, it was I forget to call it.
First fruits.
I think so. It says it came to pass in the 40th year in the 11th month on the first day of the month that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in the commandments. Unto him, I believe. I think that is
Tabernacles, or
hold on. Let me look.
The 11th month. That's later. That's late in the year.
It's in the 11th month on the first day. It is. Hold on. Is it Purim?
Purim.
I think it's Purim.
Because
I really do think it is Purim.
If we're looking at the 11th month, that's the only high holy day that's that late in the year according to Hebrew calendar.
is.
Is it not? According to the Hebrew calendar, it would be like just a month and a half or so before Passover.
Mm-hmm.
2 months before Passover. It's not Hanukkah. January, February. So it says, in essence, January between January and February, in the Gregorian,
calendar,
which is the calendar we go by now.
Yeah, but
January, February is typically the only thing that falls in that pure.
I think it is Purim or Shabbat. I think it's Purim. Let me double check though. I wanna throw something out there willy-nilly to everybody and have
a... I got you. We're going to go into it.
The book of Deuteronomy took less than 1 month to write.
Wow. How many chapters? 33?
I believe so. Yep, 33.
Wow.
And I want to say it's Purim. Hold on.
The last month before entering the promised land. The water, sir. Got you.
What is that?
The book that I just read the whole text that he said. It's interesting. It says the book of Deuteronomy took less than a month to write. The last month before entering the promised land. That only took place. The entire book of Deuteronomy less than 1 month.
The question is, on which holiday did Moses begin his speech, and in which year? It was the 40th year. It tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, and it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. And it's a high holy day. It's the 11th month. It's the first day. I want to say it's Purim, but I'm trying to make sure. That way I don't put out no lazy information. Oh, okay. Rosh Kodesh. It means new moons. Sorry, I got caught up on it.
And then they have Shabbat in parentheses, whatever that means. S-H-E-V-A-T.
We only have a little bit of time left. I'm going to go ahead and jump to question number 9. It says, who were the Amorites? It says, the Amorites were the people that dwelt in Heshbon. You know what I'm saying? And their king was, the king of the Amorites was Sihon. He was the king of the Amorites. And it says, to get more personal, it says, the Amorites were the descendants of Noah's son Ham, i.e. the fourth son of Cain, Genesis chapter 10 and verse 16. Later they became a nomadic people of Mesopotamia who eventually founded Babylon. They are regarded as one of the seven Canaanite nations who
who were marked to be destroyed from the land. And it says the Amorites are also identified as generic Canaanites, and therefore were squatters who had been removed from the land given by God to Israel. So the Amorites were they descendants of the son of Ham, of the sons of Ham.
Okay.
And I apologize, like I said, everybody, for the late start. You know what I'm saying? We're really trying to make sure that we're out here getting this word spread for all the people who are out there who've been calling in, listening to us, and for all the new listeners out there in Blog Talk Land. And I know that we will be right back here again next Saturday with the weekly Torah readings. But I know that we will be having classes again this Tuesday, I want to say, and Thursday. And I know that the brother Nagaya will be teaching his class, I believe, Wednesday evening in San Antonio. And let's see if we can get to a couple more questions. It says we have about a minute left as I look at the digital countdown, so we can keep going.
28 minutes
went
really fast. 28 minutes
seemed
like
only
10 minutes.
Yeah, we got about 56 seconds.
Okay. So there's two more questions. It actually goes on, but this section was just to these two. The Israelites devoted to destruction every city, including men, women, and children, of which two Amorite kings?
It was Sihon and Og.
And that's mentioned in chapter 3, verse 11, Deuteronomy 3 and 11.
If I'm not mistaken.
This is what they said in the answer anyway, but yeah. The answer to that is Sihon, who lived in Heshbon, and Og, who lived in Bashan. So that's accurate. That's correct.
Okay. And then the last question is, what does the word Horeb mean?
Deuteronomy 1:6 is the reference.
Yeah.
I don't think Deuteronomy 1:6 gives the answer. But it says, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. So it's just making a reference to Horeb, what it's talking about, but it's not. It doesn't say what it actually means. But they do have an answer, so we just can't confirm that that's accurate.
Okay.
The scriptures don't actually say what it means. I guess we would have to just the Hebrew form of Horeb and what it means in Hebrew.
It says dried up ruins or desolate places.
Yeah, desolate place.
And it's a synonym for Mount Sinai. So Harab means dried up places.
Horab? Harab would be like the Hebrew form of Horeb.
Yeah.
Would be the Hebrew term for it, and then it actually means dried up ruins or desolate
places.
Place.
God.
Okay. So we're still being heard. Horeb means Harab in Hebrew, and it means dried up ruins or desolate
places. Kind.
Okay.
Kind. I guess with that being said, right there, we're gonna end the class on that note. I know that I'm getting ready to shoot out to the mall to be of assistance to the brother that's out there right now. But I want to invite you guys to continue to join in and listen to the classes that we have on Blog Talk Radio. You know what I'm saying? Dawada Mushaba, we appreciate you and your insight and your help. And we will be giving. I want to double check, but I think we'll be having a class again this Tuesday morning, if I'm not mistaken.
And I know we'll have class Wednesday evening, and I believe again on Thursday morning.
Thursday morning.
You know what I'm saying? And with that being said, I'm your brother, Priest Shalama, with what I'm my brother from another mother right beside me.
I'm Odd.
And with that, we're going to be saying shalom. And we look forward to giving you guys another inspirational class and sharing these Torah readings with you on Blog Talk Radio for the ISBHPK out here in Albuquerque. We're going to say shalom.
Shalom.